just declare that you are great and greatly to be praised. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of our adoration. You're worthy of our attention. You're worthy of our lives. And so, Lord, today we celebrate you. We're so grateful for your presence here today. Sweet presence. Thank you that you desire to be known today, to be healer today. As Gina started out, that you want to meet us where we're at, each one of us individually. You want to speak to us today in ways that bring life. And so, Lord, we just say yes. We want to partner with you today. We want to partner with you today. As I was praying, there was two things that really stood out I wanted us to pray into this morning before we get to the message. First, just single parents, single moms and dads have been heavy on my heart the last couple days. And so if you are a single parent, I just want you to know that you're seen, that we value you, and we recognize the challenges. And if you know of a single mom or dad, I want you to take a moment and I want you to just pray by name over that person just right now. If you're online, man, I would encourage you to do the same thing. Just let's say right now, just pray to the God who hears our prayers over single moms and dads. Okay, just pray right now. This is us as a church. Just bless them. Bless them. Especially in this season, Lord, give them favor, Lord. Lord, I pray for connections and relationships, and I pray for hope. Lord, I pray for peace in their home. I pray for today, as we're talking about joy, that there will be a joy that bubbles up even today as we engage with your spirit. Lord, I pray you would make the curvy road straight, that you would flatten out the bumps. That in this season that's a little bit more challenging, a little bit more stressful, that the single moms and dads would know that you are with them and that you draw the weary, you draw those that are in need to them. And so, Lord, I pray this season would be transformational for single moms and single dads all over the place. Yeah, we just bless them, Lord. And the second group of people that's been heavy on my heart this week are those that just are struggling with darkness. Some would maybe call it depression, just a dark night of the soul. If that's you today, I want you to know that God sees you and God is with you. And I just want to speak this passage from Zephaniah. We say it a lot around here, but I think it pertains specifically to those that are dealing with some darkness, some struggle, some depression. It says this in chapter 3, verse 17, "The Lord your God is in your midst." Can we all just say amen to that? No matter what you're going through today, no matter what darkness it feels like it's all around you, it says here that the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. That's who we serve. That's who we are friends with, the one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. And today I just want you to know that the Lord, he rejoices over you. Somebody just needs to hear that. That the Lord, he takes great joy in you. He rejoices over you, and he has great gladness when he thinks about you. And he says this, that he will quiet you by his love. Ah, yes, quiet us with your love, Lord. And then this is what he does. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Ah, this is the God that we're singing about today. And today, Lord, I thank you that in the midst of great darkness, you are light, and that the darkness tried to overcome the light, but no darkness could. And so, Lord, in these moments where people in this room and online right now and those that will listen later that are really feeling like the darkness is all around them, that the darkness is closing and they don't see a light, Lord, I pray right now by your grace you would show them a speck of light in the distance. Lord, I pray the truth that sets us free today in the scripture would set people free today from depression, from suicidal thoughts, from hopelessness, that the truth that you actually exalt over us, that you have great joy over your people, and that you sing over us loudly, not just whisper, but loudly sing over your kids. Lord, I pray that truth, that transformational truth would be received today, that you are in our midst. And Lord, as we receive the truth that you say, our lives are changed, the chains fall off. And so, Lord, I pray just right now that we would give you our depression, we'd give you our hopelessness, and we'd invite you into it, that we would have eyes to see you, that we would be aware of the light, that we are walking sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death, but in order to be a shadow, there has to be some light. And so, Lord, I pray that we would become aware of the light more than the darkness, Lord, I just speak life over somebody who's listening that's been contemplating just ending all things. Lord, I just feel it in my spirit. Lord, would you rush into a room and break off the spirit of suicide? Lord, I love when you step into those moments. You don't bring condemnation. You don't say, how are you? Why are you thinking that? But you actually just invite us to quiet us with your love, like your word says. So Lord, I pray you would quiet the lies of the enemy with your love today. Perfect love cast out fear. And so Lord, that's who you are. And so we say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you. Darkness leave in the name of Jesus. Yes to you, Jesus. Lord, help us to know you better today. Lord, I pray you would expand our understanding of who you are and your desires for us. Lord, I pray today that you would give us an awe and wonder like little kids. Today we're going to talk about joy, and so I just want to give you a chance to ask the Lord before we even get into the message today that he would fill you with his joy today. Can we just ask him for that? If you're online watching in this room, let's just ask him by faith that he would fill us with joy. The joy of the Lord. It's his joy today. We just want to receive it today. We want to walk in it. We want to be a people that are marked with joy. And so yes, Lord, we want to receive your joy today. Would it bubble up from deep within, Lord? We just say yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. We love you, Son. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we bow at your name. Lord, thank you for this gathering. May it honor you, and may we know that we've been with the living God. Mark us today by your presence. In Jesus' powerful name, we all said, amen, amen, amen. Man, as you're finding a seat, tell somebody the joy of the Lord is here. Man, somebody was not believing that when they said that. Say it. Hey, tell somebody on the other side, the person you didn't look to the first time, tell the other side, say, the joy of the Lord is here. Come on. Man, it is good to be with you guys. We are in the middle of Advent. We've been looking at these four Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve. We've talked about hope. Richie did a great job leading us off. Last week, we talked about the love of God, and today we're going to talk about joy. Next week, we're going to talk about peace, and then believe it or not, it is Christmas Eve. Anybody else? That's crazy that it's come this fast, right? And so we've been really looking in this series at how the Lord works in unexpected ways. You know, Christmas is oftentimes unexpected. Things in our life are oftentimes unexpected. I remember when I was a little kid, I got an unexpected gift. It was a go-kart. And let me tell you, I squealed like a little pig when I got that thing, man. It was so unexpected and so exciting. There's also some unexpected things that are not so great. Kate is actually, she's visiting some family this weekend in Texas, and the first day that she's not there, our dishwasher breaks. So my hands are a little bit rough this morning because I was not expecting to do the dishes by hand all weekend long, right? Unexpected things. Today, I want to talk about joy and how oftentimes the Lord wants to give us joy in unexpected times and unexpected ways. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2, just for one verse there, and then I'm going to jump around, honestly, all over the scriptures today and really want to convey what I believe is biblical joy and what the Lord wants to teach us today, and not just teach us today. How many of you know God is not just interested in giving us information? Does anybody else believe that? He wants to give us transformational revelation. So I'm praying today. My prayer is that there'd be at least one person that walks out of this room or leaves online that have joy that they didn't have before. That's my prayer. And if only one person gets that, man, I'll preach to that one person all day long if it brings transformation to their life. So Luke chapter 2, this is the middle of the story, the first what we call Christmas, the Christmas narrative of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, we see the birth of Jesus. Then we see the angels. They head over to get to the shepherds. They show up in the sky. Can we just imagine that for a second? Angels showing up and we can actually see them. Anybody else would like to see an angel besides me? Anybody else? Oh my goodness. Let me tell you, they are all around us. Do you know that? Do you know that in this room are worshiping angels all around us? It's incredible to think about. And in this moment of history, the Lord saw it fit that these shepherds, these unexpected ones, don't you love how the Lord works? Unexpected ones. That they would show up in grand entrance and the sky would light up and they begin to give them a word about this little baby named Jesus that's been born to a virgin, is now wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a food trough. And in the midst of their message, we see verse 10, and this is what I want to hit on today. It says, the angel said to them, fear not. Man, we could hear that today. Fear not, for behold, this is why you should not fear. I bring you good news of great, what is that word? Joy that will be for all the people. I bring you good news of great joy. That's for all the people. Whew. First thing I want us to know, and I know, man, we're in church, but I want you to know that God's desire is that all people would have joy. Somebody say, preach that. Thank you. Man, y'all are awake today. Come on, 9 o'clock, let's go. I'm gonna preach my guts out today with y'all today. Hey, it says right now, it says that God's desire is that joy is for all people. That's what he starts out with. This is good news of great joy for all people. And what I know about God's joy is it is unexpectedly available at all times. Hey, man, God's joy, man, it's available not only to all people, but it's available at all times. That means when we're at the mountaintop, man, God's joy, man, pay raise, woohoo. But also in the valley, man, I just lost somebody I love. I just lost the job that I've been working towards. I just experienced this hurt and this pain. And in the middle of all of that, what's unexpected about the joy of God? It's available at all times. Now, in order to understand this, I think we have to have a proper definition of joy. And today, I want to start out with the wrong definition of joy, even though it's in a dictionary, okay? So here's the definition. If you look it up, joy, you'll get something like this in the dictionary. It's an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. And so it's really dependent, this kind of joy that the world has or that the dictionaries have, that most of us operate with, this kind of joy is highly dependent on our circumstance. But there's a problem with that, because when we read the Bible, joy is all over the place, and oftentimes it's in places where this definition wouldn't actually be true. See, in James 1, 2, and 3, James is writing to 12 tribes of the dispersion. So they've been dispersed because of the persecution of the followers of Jesus. So they've been spread out for fear before being put to death. And so they're all spread out. And this is how he starts his letter. This is verse 2, right out the gate. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy when I face trials? Wow. Count it all joy when I have persecution? Count it all joy when things don't go my way? That's what the Bible tells us here. This is what James writes. And then we have Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now this is Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us. Now look at verse 2. This is so important that we see this. This is talking about Christ. Looking at Jesus. It's so important that we look at Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so it says that who for the joy that was set before him who endured the cross. How many of you know the cross is not really a picture of joy? I mean, the cross that was set before him was a picture of pain. It was loneliness. Everybody was going to scatter. There was going to be the weight of sin on his shoulders. He looked to that moment. He looked past that moment. And he says, even though he knew that was coming, he had joy that was set before him. That should make us scratch our heads a little bit. What is this joy? See, the dictionary says that it's when things go my way, when I have success, when things happen that I want to happen. But here in the scripture, it actually says opposite. It says, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of the heaviness, regardless of what's going on for or against you, he says, count it all joy. And here's what I want to show you is the biblical definition of joy. It's this. It's a deep gladness or contentment based on a spiritual or eternal reality. This is really important. So if you're taking notes, just write this down real quick. Take a picture, whatever you need to do. But this I think is a much more accurate biblical definition of the joy of the Lord. It's a joy, it's a deep gladness or contentment that's based on a spiritual reality. And therefore, if that's the case, it's available at all times. Regardless of what's happening here in the now, in the physical, in the temporary, we can still have joy. We can count it all joy when we face trials. We can count it joy even when there's something set before me that's not going to be fun. We can count it joy if this is the definition. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but doesn't it seem like joy is oftentimes elusive? Does anybody else agree? I'm the only one. Okay, that's all right. Y'all are filled with joy. I'm up here being a bah humbug, right? Joy, it seems like it slips through our fingers so fast. And honestly, if I look at life and I look at the brokenness in our world, if I look at all the challenges in our world, I would say it feels like the systems of this world are bent on robbing me of joy. Anybody else feel that way? And so today I want to show you some things that I feel like in my own life I've experienced that have robbed my joy. And I think all of us in this room are going to resonate with at least one, if not all three of these. Number one, what robs our joy is the day of trouble. This is a biblical term that's all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The day of trouble is when a day or a week or a year, 2020 hasn't happened yet, comes and it brings trouble. It brings pain. It brings loss. It brings relational struggles, financial issues, unforeseen consequences. It's a day of trouble that comes against us. And when that day of trouble comes, I'm going to tell you, it is so easy for you and I to get so fixated on the trouble that we lose sight of the joy that God has given us. And boom, the joy is gone. It's actually not gone. We just don't receive it. We're not operating with it. So the day of trouble, number one, I've experienced this. Number two, unfulfilled hopes. Whew. Man, there's nothing like an unfulfilled hope to rob our joy. Oh my goodness. Man, I planned on this one thing happening. I had that vacation. Did I just hit somebody's sweet spot there? I just had this vacation plan this year, and then COVID happened. Oh, unfulfilled hopes. Man, I have this job. I have this girlfriend, this boyfriend, and XYZ happened, and now I don't have it. And let me tell you, unfulfilled hopes oftentimes takes our joy. And the third one, which I think happens way more than we realize that steals our joy, is comparison. Man, comparison is so, so quick to rob our joy of what we have and who we are. Now, you need to know something about me. If you're familiar with the Enneagram, it's a kind of a personality, holistic piece. I am for sure a 7 with a wing 8. That means I am very, very positive, sometimes to my own detriment. But I can tell you in 2020, somewhere in the middle of the summer, for about 2, maybe 3 weeks, for the first time in my life, I felt like what I believe to be depression. It was different for me. You know, I'm positive. Let's go take the hill. Let's go jump off the cliff. The parachute will come out. It's going to be okay. But in the middle of the summer, as all the challenges of leading in this season, honestly, it's challenging for any leader, whether you're a business leader, a school leader, a teacher, a church leader. Let me tell you, this is a weird and challenging season to lead in. And the accumulation of all the decisions and all the weighing on things and all the things happening that were very different, it caught up to me. And honestly, there were some unfulfilled hopes that I realized that I'd had for 2020. There were some unfulfilled hopes that I had for this church in 2020. There were some unfulfilled hopes that I had for our staff in 2020. And honestly, at that point of the year, I began to look around and compare a lot of things. I compared it even to 2019. How many of you have done that already? 2019, doesn't it look so much better, by the way, with 2020? 2021 is going to look so good. Come on, somebody say amen to that. But I began to find myself comparing to seasons past. Man, doesn't that sound like the Israelites? Man, maybe we should just go back and be slaves. Even there, at least we had food. Can you? Anybody else resonate with this? And so I found myself comparing. Honestly, I started comparing myself to other pastors and how they're leading and what they're doing. And I found myself in a spiral that went down and got really dark for a couple weeks. It's very different for me. I'd never experienced that before. And maybe today you're in that position and you feel that way. Or maybe you experienced that in the past. So if it is true that God's joy is for all people at all times, what do we do when we find ourselves in a position where we don't feel a lot of joy? Today, I want to show you where joy is and what I've been learning as I've been navigating this year and honestly, a lot of challenges as a leader and a lot of things to navigate as a man, as a dad, as a husband in this season. And so I would love for you, if you have your Bible, to open up to Psalm 16. And we're going to look at starting verse 8. I want to show you where joy is, and the good news is it is available for you. It is available. God wants to give you joy today, as he wanted to give me joy in that season, as he wants to give me joy today, he wants to give you joy. Starting in verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at the right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. Let's just stop right here. Let's see what's happening. Remember that biblical joy is based on a reality of a spiritual or eternal truth. And so here he says, my soul rejoices because, Father, you are in heaven and you are not shaken. Because of that, I dwell securely. And what I love here, it says, he will not abandon you in the darkness. Somebody say amen to that. Man, I don't care how depressed you are. I don't care how down deep. I don't care how much you've messed up, where you find yourself today. I want you to know you are not in a place that God is not willing to go. And actually, I would say another way to say that is that you're actually not in a place that God isn't already. Whew, that's good news of great joy. Come on. And the writer goes on. He says, you make known to me the path of life. You show me what direction. You show me your desires. In your presence, there is fullness of what? What is it? Fullness of what? And where is it at? It's in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Profound insight for all of us today from the scriptures. The joy of the Lord is found in the Lord. It's found in his presence. This is what we read in Psalm 21, verse 6. It says, for you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. The presence of God is where we find joy. And joy, I want you to see, is found in and only in God's presence. The joy that God longs to give you today, the joy that he wants to fill you up with, the joy that he wants our church to operate with, is found in his presence. And we know God is everywhere. His presence is everywhere. Therefore, joy, if it's in his presence, can be found in all things at all times, in all places, in all situations. But if you're like me, sometimes I miss where God is. Anybody else, sometimes you just get your head down. You heard pastors say, we become navel gazers. You just start looking at yourself. And when we start just looking at ourselves and woe is me and all these things are happening, it's really, really more challenging for me to be aware that God is with me in my midst. But he says, the joy of the Lord is in my midst. Now, in Isaiah chapter 55, it's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. If you want to go, you know, what gets my heart burning, go read Isaiah 55. But the next chapter, 56, it also keeps me burning really, really bright. And it really has a lot of implications for our church. In Isaiah 56, starting in verse 6, it says, "And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him or to love him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful." Everybody say joyful. "Joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God who gathers the outcast of Israel." How many are glad that God gathers the outcast? Anybody else excited about that? "He gathers the outcast of Israel. He declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." How many of you are so excited that God has not stopped gathering people to himself? Man, what a gift that is. But in this passage, God gives us some incredible insight through his prophet, Isaiah. He says, I will make them joyful in my house, which is the house of prayer. Listen, the house that God is talking about here is where his presence resided. It's where he chose in his infinite wisdom to say, yes, I am everywhere. You can't outrun my presence, but I'm going to choose to manifest my presence in the house, which was the temple of God. He says, in that place, you're going to have joy, and that place is going to be called a house of prayer. And what I love about this passage is it harkens back to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It's a good news of great joy for who? Just a few? Just the Western Christians? No, no, no. For all people. All people. And here he says, it'll be a house of prayer for who? All people. Wow, God, are you that good? That all people are invited into your house and you will give us joy in your presence. Yet this is what the passage tells us, that his house is a house of prayer, and that as we are brought into it, as we engage in his presence, as we engage in him in prayer, that God gives us his joy, which is found in his presence. Now, this passage specifically is talking about the temple, but we know that the house of God resides in his people, the church, the people of God. And now, as Christ has come, he's redeemed us, he's made us whole, we are now the tabernacle. We are the moving house of God. And you know what that means? That means the presence of God dwells right here. And that this now, I now am called the house of God. This is the house of God, the dwelling place of God. And I am called to be a house of prayer. Whew. Not just to be part of a house of prayer, but I'm called to be a house of prayer. You're called to be a house of prayer. And in that, he says, there'll be great joy. Whew. For all people. See, there's a reason why at this church we value some things and we make our aim to be a simple people, but to be a very intentional people. As we're talking about the presence of God, I want you to know that the reason why we prioritize prayer, the reason why we prioritize worship and community is because it cultivates our awareness of God. So this is the why behind some of the things that we do. This is the why behind every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday we gather here in this room from noon to one, regardless of anybody else comes, regardless of anybody jumps online, and we spend an hour worshiping and praying together. We do the same thing every Thursday night, 6:30 in this room. Everybody's welcome because it's a house for all people. Because we believe as a people that our first and foremost calling is to be in fellowship with God. This is why he created us, to give glory to him through fellowship with him. And what we know about prayer is the primary way that our relationship with God is cultivated. When we talk to him and when we hear from him, this cultivates our love for God. And it grows our awareness of his presence. That's why prayer is so pivotal here at this church. And we don't apologize for that. We don't apologize for that because it's the way of Jesus, the way of the early church. It's the way that God has intended for us to operate in relationship, in dialogue with him. We also prioritize worship. Now, worship is our response to God. We know that. You've heard me say that a lot of times. And so it could be singing a melody. It could also be working on a spreadsheet. It could be coming and leading an entire room full of people, or it could be raising your kids to know the Lord. Worship is an expression of what God has done, and it's our response to who he is. And so here at this church, we value worship so much because it's an opportunity for us to love God, and in doing so, receive his love, become aware of his love. And we also, at this church, we value community so much. Jesus himself said, where two or three are gathered, he is there in their midst. That means there's something the Lord likes when people gather together, when people are in unity and in the like mind. The Lord loves that. And what he says is he's right there in our midst. And in community is where we begin to develop a greater awareness of God. Sometimes we're in a room and we're praying and somebody will have an awareness of what God's doing and they will actually teach me to be more aware of God. Do you know how that's how God works sometimes? Sometimes he'll place the answer that I'm looking for in somebody else so that I have to go to them to hear it, to develop community so that I would have trust in him. This is how God works. And in this prayer, in this worship, in this community, we have this amazing growing awareness of God on this earth, the Emmanuel God, God with us and in us. And for us on this earth, sometimes we're like, man, I wish I lived in the day of Jesus. I wish I could have walked with Jesus. Anybody else think that would be really cool, by the way? Man, it would be so neat to jump on a boat and go across the waters and see all these incredible things that Jesus did. It would be awesome, but let me remind you, Jesus says it's to your advantage that I leave. See, I think sometimes we actually long for something that's less than what God actually has given us. He said, it's better that I go, and when I go, when I get to the Father, I will send you the Holy Spirit. What I want us to see here today is that the Holy Spirit is God's presence on the earth, and therefore he is our source of joy. That the Holy Spirit is the presence of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, no less. He's not the third string quarterback. He's not the afterthought. He's not the token, hold my place till I get back. No. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Trinity, beautiful. But the Holy Spirit is now here in our midst. He is living here. I just said, we are the temple of the living God. We are the house of God. And the Spirit of God now dwells in all those who have followed Jesus, who have said yes to Jesus. So we are now the tabernacle or the tent that God has chosen to place his Spirit in. And what we see in the scripture is that joy and the Holy Spirit go hand in hand. Oh, let me just give you a couple scriptures. This is Acts 13. 52, this is where the disciples had just got done seeing God move, but then they had some strife stirred up against them and people started to persecute them and they're leaving town. And this is what it says, and the disciples were filled with joy, there's the word, and the Holy Spirit. There we go, side by side. Whew. Romans 15, 13. Man, anybody love Romans in here? Love the deep theology of the Romans? Let me tell you what Romans says, what Paul says to the church of Rome. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing so that by the power of the Spirit, you may abound in hope. We have hope when we have joy and peace, which is from the Holy Spirit. Romans 14, 17, it gets even better. This is what the kingdom of God, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the who? Holy Spirit. Oh. You see, we can't get around the fact that the joy of God is found in his presence. And what we see throughout the scripture is that this joy that's found in his presence is offered to us through his Holy Spirit. There's no other way actually to get it. There's no other way to walk in it unless it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. The last passage that I want to reference today is a passage that I've come to love, and for many years I've used in my counseling with people. And it's in Galatians chapter 5, and many of us are familiar with verse 22, but in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says that we have an opportunity that we can choose. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Do you know that you and I have a choice every day if we're going to walk in joy or not? And I know that may offend some people, but it's deeply biblical if we have the accurate view of joy. Because in Galatians 5, if we get a little bit further down, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit includes joy. Listen, this passage is a passage of choice. He goes on to say at the end of this, he says, man, if you live by the Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God in you, if that's you, then let's choose to walk with the Spirit. Do you know that you and I have a choice, even though the Spirit is in here, that we can either choose to walk with the Spirit or not walk with the Spirit? Are y'all awake here? We have a choice every moment of every day. Am I going to align myself with God and his ways, or am I going to choose to go the way of Derek? We have a choice. And what the scriptures tell us here is that joy is received when we align with the Holy Spirit's perspective and direction. So the fruit of the Spirit is not just something that comes out of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit when we choose. God gives us choice, even as his kids, to say yes to what the Spirit is saying. This is where the fruit comes from. It comes from my intimacy with the Lord as I'm walking with him and I'm being refined by him. He's inviting me into things. He's teaching me what he hates. God does hate some things, by the way, and what he loves and what he thinks and what he wants to do. And as I'm walking with the Spirit, as Paul says here, I'm being tuned to what God likes and doesn't like. And as I yield myself to the Spirit of God, it says the fruit of that relationship, the fruit of that intimacy, one of the fruits of that is joy. Listen, if you and I want joy, listen, we have to be willing to align ourselves with God's perspective in God's ways. That's where biblical joy is. That's why Jesus could say, I look to the cross and I have great joy in it. Because he recognized that the Spirit in him, as he was connected to the Father, was leading him, and his obedience was raising up joy in him. It's why the disciples, when they were persecuted, could say, count it all joy. Man, we're being obedient to the Spirit's leading, and out of that, man, there flows joy. Oh. And so how do you and I today, how do we receive and maintain joy? That's the question, man. That's the question. And I wish I could tell you a bulletproof answer to that. But like I told you before, if a pastor ever tells you a formula, you should probably really consider if he's telling the truth. But there is a path, and there are some biblical principles that we are guided by, right? And so if you want to receive joy today, if you want to maintain the joy of the Lord, there are a couple things that I think are part of this as I look at the scripture. Number one, humility. Man, if you want to be a person that's filled with joy, I'm telling you, it requires humility, because it requires me to recognize that I can't have joy on my own. That the things I own, the things I buy, the things that I achieve, that they are going to eventually leave me empty-handed. So we have to carry a humility. We can choose to humble ourselves. Another choice. And it begins with seeking God. God, what is your perspective? God, what are you saying about my situation? God, I'm in a lot of pain right now. I'm feeling a lot of loss right now. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. God, I'm coming to you because I don't know what else to do. That's humility. Seek, ask, knock. It's the way of the kingdom. And then as we humble ourselves before the Lord, we continually adjust to his perspective. See, it requires a ton of humility, man. In the middle of challenge, in the middle of the day of trouble, it's so easy to listen to the friends around you that are telling you what you want to hear. Oh, man, there are all kinds of people that tell you and reiterate what you're feeling inside, and you can find those people. You just go to enough people, you're going to find a yes person. But in those seasons, if we really want to have joy that comes from the Lord, it requires us to adjust to what is God saying? What is he doing? What is his perspective? And then we have to remind ourselves, and this is key, that you and I are created for eternity. We don't talk about this a lot, but man, we got to remind ourselves sometimes that this life that you and I are living, it's here today and gone tomorrow. Scriptures say it's like vapor in the wind. It's here and gone. It's like fog on a mountain. It's there for a moment, but it gets burned up. And yeah, today matters. Man, it matters so much. Today so much matters. If God's intention was to just get you to heaven, he would have killed you as soon as you got saved. But no, today matters. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. But in the midst of the trouble, the day of trouble, in the midst of what Jesus says, there's going to be trouble. In the midst of that, I think it's really, really important for those that are following Christ to remember, I was created for eternity. Today does not define my eternal life. And that perspective shift, man, it just changes things. It's why most of the disciples could hold fast to the name of Jesus, even though most of them were killed for their faith. Why? They had an eternal perspective. How could they do that? They had joy even in the midst because there was a spiritual reality that was trumping their present circumstance. Sometimes we just got to remind ourselves, man, God, this is just a blink in the time of eternity. Lord, help me to get through this. Help me to see you in this. And then lastly, it's to cultivate an awareness of God that is bigger than our present circumstance. Cultivate an awareness of God that's bigger than my circumstance. It's bigger than my family's circumstance, bigger than my country's circumstance. That my awareness of God, his beauty, his awe, how we just saying how great is our God, that would give me perspective in my circumstance. And I think if we were to do this, if we were to choose to walk this way, we'd be a people that are filled with biblical joy. And the world would say, how in the world do they have joy in the midst of that? How are these people that have been lied about, who've been persecuted, who've been oppressed, how do these people persist? How do they do that? And it's in those moments that we can point to the one who gives us joy, the presence of God. So today, as we close, that's what I want to do. I want to give us a chance to just get quiet before the Lord. I recognize this season is so busy, and there's so many things to do, list of things to do, list of things to buy, list of people to write cards for. There's lots of things to do. And so I want to give you a gift in the next 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes. I want to give you a gift. And that gift is that you can take a deep breath right now and nothing's going to be asked of you. And for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to pause and we're going to wait for the Lord and we're going to talk to him and we're going to receive from him today. This is a house of prayer for all people. So whether it's your first time visiting us online or in person, whether you consider yourself a Jesus follower or not, I want to invite you to pray. And so you can keep your eyes open. There's nothing fancy. If you want to close your eyes, it honestly helps me a lot of times because, you know, I see a squirrel and I go with it. And so sometimes just closing my eyes just helps me stay focused and not get distracted. I'll give you a tip. One thing that I do when I'm praying at my house or praying at the office is this is usually what I do right here. For some reason, when I'm engaged and I'm walking, my relationship, my talking with the Lord, my listening, it just helps me personally. So maybe if your prayers are a struggle for you, maybe just consider as you talk with the Lord, just stay engaged by just walking around. Maybe you do some laps around your office or at your home. But today I want to give us some space, just a few minutes for the Holy Spirit to work in this room and online. So first, I just want to set our affections on Jesus. So just, I want you to picture Jesus right now. He is, after all, the image of the invisible God. And we have the mind of Christ. And so we want to set our eyes on the beauty of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the majesty of Jesus, the purity of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus. So I just want you to picture Jesus right now. And we're going to ask this simple question. Jesus, would you show us anywhere where we are lacking joy? Just ask him with honesty. Let him speak to you. Let him show you. Jesus, is there anywhere that we're lacking joy in our life right now? He never does it to condemn us. He never does it to make us feel bad. And whenever he tells us something, it's because he has something better for us. He has life for us. And so whatever that is, I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. I want you to think about that area of your life, that circumstance, that relationship, that whatever that is that you're lacking joy. And I want you to ask the Lord what he sees that you're missing in that circumstance. Sometimes I just said, Jesus, where are you in this circumstance? Let him show you. Just sit in that moment. Let him show you where he's at. Or sometimes I'll say, Lord, what do you want me to know about this circumstance that I'm missing? This is where we ask the Lord questions and we sit and we receive from him. And we said joy comes from aligning with the Holy Spirit. And so whatever the Lord has revealed to you, if he's revealed something now or if it hasn't yet, then maybe there'll be something later today about that circumstance. I want you to think about, how can I align with what has been revealed to me? How can I align my actions, my words, my thoughts that come into alignment? That's called repentance, by the way, when I adjust to God's perspective and his thoughts. How can I align with God in the way that he's just showed me? Now, whatever circumstance it is, I just want you to give a thanks to God that he's already at work, that he's already in that circumstance, that he has the path of life for you. So, Lord, I thank you that even in the midst of a circumstance that hasn't necessarily changed in this moment, that you are in the midst of that circumstance, that relationship, that challenge, that day of trouble, that you are in the midst of that and you're offering me a path of life in it. You're offering all of us a path of life. And in that is joy when we say yes to you. And so, Lord, today I pray right now just over our church that you would fill us with your joy as we're people recognizing your presence within us and around us. That everywhere we go, you are there. And so there is joy to be had. Lord, I pray that the next couple weeks as we end this year would be filled with good news of great joy for all people. Lord, teach us to be a people that are aware of you in prayer and worship and community as we read the word, as we do our jobs, as we raise our families. Lord, may there be a keen awareness of you and awe and wonder. And as we say yes to what you're saying, Lord, as we agree with you, may there be joy that overflows in us. Thank you that you are the God of joy, that you have thoughts towards us that make you rejoice and sing loudly over us. Lord, fill us continually with your joy as we are continually filled with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, we love you guys, and we're grateful that you showed up today here in person or online. Man, I bless you today, and I pray that the God of hope would fill you with all joy in peace and believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can abound in hope. We're gonna ask you, our ushers, to come row by row as we honor those in this room and as we release today. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.
What an amazing day. We wanna thank you so much for joining us online today. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna meditate and really soak in that scripture of in the Lord's presence is the fullness of his joy. So that's my prayer for all of us as we go about this week, that we just resound with the Lord's joy in us wherever we go this week. May God bless you. May he keep you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless.